Hello, welcome to Talking Europe, an unprecedented political and democratic crisis. That's how my guest describes the situation in France. Pierre Moscovici is the first president of the Cour des Comptes, the Court of Auditors, which is the supreme body for auditing the use of public funds in France. Pierre Moscovici was European Commissioner for Economic and Monetary Affairs during the first Trump presidency, in fact, and he's also been Minister of Economy and Finance in the former socialist government in France. Well, indeed, this country is going through major government instability, an alarming public deficit, all of this at a time when the populist right is surging and Europe as a whole struggles to find its feet in a growingly unpredictable multipolar world. Welcome to the programme, Mr. Moscovici.
Bonjour.
So let's start with a scandal which is actually rocking Brussels at the moment, surrounding the former High Representative for Foreign Policy, Federica Mogherini, who's been accused of misusing public funds. Of course, the probe is ongoing. But as you actually worked with her, right, you were at the Commission at the same time, were you surprised when this news broke?
Totally surprised. Federica Mogherini is a remarkable person. She's a personal friend. She was very active as High Representative, Vice President of the Commission, a good colleague, and I'm for sure personally an honest person. And I know how much she's dedicated to what she was doing and being the Dean of the College of Europe, and so I keep her, my friendship, totally. Well, then, as you said, there are accusations, suspicions, there is a probe. Let's have it ongoing. I think her reaction was the good one. When you're suspected, you cannot represent such an institution anymore. You need to act with an exemplary conduct, and that's what she's doing. But you need also to be exemplary when you are in charge.
Yeah.
So let's see.
You're leaving for a new job in January, which is to be on the European Court of Auditors in Luxembourg. One of the jobs of that court is to scrutinise how EU funds are being used. So will it actually, will the European Court of Auditors also be looking into how these funds in the Mogherini scandal were allegedly misused?
I don't know, because, you know, it's a court of audits, so it establishes its own program on its own basis. The purpose is twofold. The first one is to ensure regularity of public expenditures, and the second one is to judge the performance efficiency of public spending for Europe. And so there are a lot of reports which are delivered each year. I don't know if this is on the program. I imagine they're not going to look specifically at that. There is a probe. Now it's justice, and let's have the inquiry going on and justice decide. You know, as long as you're not condemned, you're innocent. Never forget that. That doesn't mean that in the end you're innocent. You may be found guilty, but let's not be too fast. There is a need for clarity on that, obviously, because, of course, it's the heart of the Commission. She was Vice President. It's also the High Representative, and it's also a very important school for those who tend to be or want to be young, passionate, future civil servants for European institutions.
I want to come to some of the big international issues now, and these whole negotiations around Ukraine. We've now learnt that the US negotiating team that was in Moscow skipped a stop in Brussels when they finished in Moscow. They went straight to Miami to meet with the Ukrainian negotiator. This has been described as a humiliation for Europe by Le Monde, the newspaper. Is that how you see it?
It's a mistake, because first, you cannot have peace built just with Russia. So they met with Mr. Putin, they are meeting Ukrainians in Miami. It's not exactly the same. The symbol is that they go to meet Mr. Putin, who is a protagonist, and not any protagonist since the start of this war, its invasion of Ukraine by Russia.
So it was an American mistake not to come to Brussels.
No, I mean, there are several mistakes. The first one is to treat asymmetrically Russia and Ukraine, to seem to be more on the Russian side than on the Ukrainian side. And Mr. Vitkov has shown his preferences before. And the second mistake, of course, is to bypass the Europeans. Because how could you imagine that the peace, and we all want peace, and probably there is a way to peace. Mr. Zelensky says that too. But peace cannot be done against Ukraine. And peace cannot be created without Europeans. So skipping, as you said, the Europeans is also a mistake. So I would say there is a kind of double fault there. Mm. It's not the right way to handle the situation, in my view. But, I'm not a diplomat. I'm not in politics anymore. But I still have my own feelings and conviction. The first one is that Ukraine must be fully respected. It has been invaded. It has been attacked. It has resisted with an immense courage. And the second is that it's in the European war and that we must be respected also as Europeans. And my third conviction is that we need to prepare to defend ourselves against a possible future aggression from Russia, whether it is hybrid or military.
It just seems, though, that the EU doesn't really have any leverage or is not using it on Trump if he's making these mistakes. European leaders basically say what you've just said, which is Europe has to be included, but then we see the US excluding Europe. Is there anything the EU can actually do to make this difference?
There is a coalition of volunteers. Mr. Macron chose to meet with Mr. Zelensky as a symbol. That's on right. Monday. He's
but,
right.
But the US several, doesn't seem to care much about the coalition of the willing.
I wouldn't say so. I think that in the end, they know they cannot do without the Europeans.
But they don't mention the reassurance forces on the ground, all of these European ideas.
Security guarantees must be made by Europeans. In the end, I'm sure that the Americans want to share this burden with us. So they have to come back to Europe. I'm confident that they will come back to Europe because they need to. And we must be prepared to that. And we must also be always in a proposal mode.
Just a quick point on these frozen assets, the Russian frozen assets, because obviously it's going to be a big issue in Brussels in the next few weeks. If there's no breakthrough on using the assets in Euroclear in this depository, do you think the alternative proposal for this loan with joint borrowing, is that something that EU member states will accept, or they're too worried about their public finances to do something like that?
I learned one thing is in Brussels, that is, never be the what-if guy. There is a plan A, and the plan A is to use those frozen assets. Yeah. I think that it's the right time to do that. Yeah. Of course, you must secure those countries, and especially Belgium, who are worried about that. You must avoid too many risks and financial risks, and also listen to the message of the ECB. Okay, this must be done, and the Commission is working an effective plan on that. I hope that plan A will work. If plan A doesn't work, then we will move to plan B. But one thing I'm quite sure of is that we cannot stay on our own without doing anything. So there needs to be a solution, either one, either the other, in order to finance our commitment to Europe, to Ukraine.
Let's talk a bit now about public finances in the EU and particularly in France. According to Eurostat in October, the debt in EU member states averages at 81.9% of GDP. As a former European Commissioner for Economic and Monetary Affairs, what do you say to that level of debt?
Well, it's too high, but not that bad. Since I remember that during the 5 years I was in office, our debt was never below that. And I remember also that it was much higher after the COVID crisis. It reached a level above 90% and close to 95%. Though there is an effort ongoing to reduce this public debt, but still too high. That's what I would say if I was in the press conference, in the press room in Brussels. But let's continue for the efforts. And then there are major differences. If I look at some countries, Greece, 145, Italy, 130, France moving to 120. I can see that there is a growing divergence, even if Greece and Italy tend to reduce their debt. And so there is, I'm afraid to say so, a French problem, because our level of debt is way too high. 115% is 35% above the average rate of the EU when we were in the average a few years ago. And it's the only country which debt is continuously rising. So we need to solve this problem. And that's in my role of president of the Cour des Comptes. I repeat on and on. France must regain control of its public finances in order to keep its credibility, to enhance its sovereignty, to show by example, and to lead also countries to the effort that we need more Europe, and Europe which is capable to simplify, to unify, to invest in order to be an economic power and a political power in this world. And we need to lead by example. Now, that's not the case, obviously, as I said. Of course, I'm conscious that there is a political and democratic crisis in this country.
I was going to say, because can France solve that problem you've just described while this parliament is so fractured, or are we going to have to wait till future elections for anything to really move on that?
I still have hope that we will have a budget before the year end, and that this budget will be under 5% deficit to GDP ratio. I say under, that means less than 5%, not 5%. That's the only way to ensure our trajectory. I hope this will be done. But I know that the structural problems of this country will only be solved after 2027, which is the year of the next presidential elections. And we need to recover a vision, and we also need to recover a majority in the parliament. And this majority does not exist for the time being, so... they are muddling through. It's difficult to govern a country in such conditions. The Prime Minister tries, but his job is hard.
That's for sure. We'll have to stop there. Thank you so much for being my guest, Pierre Moscovici, first president of the Cour des Comptes, the Court of Auditors here in France. Thanks for watching this episode of Talking Europe.